It's good to be gathered today for this chapel with the emphasis on a Christian response to climate change. As you came, you saw some pictures of the island nation of Tuvalu and heard traditional music, if you were here earlier for that, from the culture there. Reverend Tafue Lusama is from the small island nation of Tuvalu. Reverend Lusama is not only the leader of the Tuvalu Christian Church and a highly respected minister, but he's also an outspoken advocate for creation care and a Christian response to climate change. His small island nation is quickly disappearing as sea levels rise. And Reverend Lusama this morning brings testimony regarding the plight of his people and how the church can respond to this crisis. He makes a stop here at EMU as part of a 5-week speaking tour of Christian colleges around the East Coast and Midwest. And he's been traveling with Peter Ilne, right here, founder of Restoring Eden, and also with Motu Loleni, right here in the front. And if you're available following chapel, we invite you to come to Common Ground's Coffee House for coffee, tea, little mini cinnamon rolls, and conversation with our guests today. Let's welcome Reverend Lusama to the stage.
On the outset, I would like to voice out my appreciation, thanks to the people who gave me this opportunity to stand here and to speak to you. Although the presentation or the speech I am going to give you this morning is based on the experiences of our people in Tuvalu, but actually it is the same experiences that the people on low-lying island countries are facing all around the world. My speech this morning will mainly focus on Jesus' mission and the injustices that suppresses lives around the world. In other words, I will try and focus on our Christian response to an unjust system that dominates what is going on in the world. It will relate to how we see ourselves in Christ's mission in the midst of an empire. I will start off by contextualizing what I am going to speak about. And every time I speak about the country of Tuvalu, people will always say, "Where is that?" And it is important for me to put up a map and to show you where we are. If you Google it up, it will say Tuvalu is in the middle between Australia and Hawaii. But if you go to that area, you'll see a vast ocean with small dots. To further clarify our position, we are north of Fiji and south of Kiribati. I know you know Australia and you know Hawaii. I don't know whether you know where Kiribati and Fiji are, so it might complicate things more. But please, study your geography and Google it up. That's where we are. And the country is made up of 8 inhabited coral island atolls, and they are spread out in a vast ocean. That's how it looks like. A little bit about our people. We are Polynesians. In the Pacific Ocean, we have 3 kinds of people. We have the Melanesians, we have the Micronesians, and we have the Polynesians. And the Polynesians are people like the Hawaiians, Tahitians, Samoans, Tongans, Tuvaluans, and the such. We have we live on an area of about 26 square kilometers of land with a population of about 12,000 people. Our people live off the sea and the land. We live a very subsistent kind of lifestyle. We depend on the sea for our fish supplies because that's the main protein supply for our people. And we plant our own food. And that is why we have to live sustainably. We have to know how to manage our resources, the very limited resources we have around us. Because we know if we overfish, we'll suffer. And if we use fertilizers, then the land will die. It won't bear fruit to us. We live a very intimate and peaceful relationship with nature and the environment. We understand and we can translate what it is saying to us. The science of time and what the earth tells us from time to time are things that we need to understand for us to maintain that intimate relationship with our environment and our surrounding. Creation as a whole is part of our lives. A little bit about our church. We call ourselves the Ecclesia Cristiana Tuvalu. Literally, it means the Christian Church of Tuvalu. We believe that we are called by God not only to prepare souls and send them to heaven, but also to care for the physical needs of the people. In other words, we believe that paradise and heaven is not a thing that we have to wait until we die to experience. It is to be experienced here and now. And it is our task to assist and help our people experience God's presence here. We believe that because the church membership is of about 92-96% of the total population. Therefore, when we speak about the church, we are speaking about the country as a whole. And because of that, we feel that it is our responsibility as a church called by God to have concerns for anything that impacts and affects the livelihood of the people. And that is why we have been greatly involved in the issue of climate change for years now, not only in the country, not only in the region, but as well as on the global platform. Climate impacts. Climate change is the most critical and challenging challenge that our people are facing today. And I have said, as I have said in the beginning, this is the same challenge that every low-lying island country in the world is facing. We are not only speaking about 12,000 people, we are speaking about millions of people who will be impacted. Because countries like Kiribati, with about 200,000 population, the Maldives, Bangladesh, who have millions in population, and people on the lowlands of bigger countries as well. So these are the same experiences they are facing. Coastal erosion. Land to us is life. You lose your land, you lose your life, literally. So every day we are experiencing and we are witnessing the slow erosion of our land by the sea. And we are seeing the loss of our lives every day through loss of land. We have in 2011 faced the longest drought ever in the history of the country. A state of emergency was declared, and desalination plants have to be brought in to turn salt water into fresh water to supply water needs of the people. This has never happened in the past. Traditionally and before the experience we are going through, we used to depend on our underground water lands for our water supply. We had wells to supply our people's need for water. Because of sea level rise, salt water has intruded into our underground water lands and salinated. Therefore, we can no longer depend on our groundwater lands, underground water lands, for our water needs. We have to depend on rainwater. If it does not rain for 3 weeks, people will start looking for water. Of course, the government have reserves, but they are far from enough to cater for the needs of the people. Weather patterns have changed dramatically. Our traditional skills and our traditional knowledge on how to survive on our small islands are closely linked to the cycle of the weather patterns. The weather patterns tells us when to plant and what to plant at a certain time of the year, and when to fish, where to fish, and what to catch in a certain time of the year as well. Because of the changing weather patterns, we have two seasons only, the wet season and the dry season. Today, in the middle of our wet season, we will experience a long drought, like what happened in 2011. And in the middle of our dry season, we will experience cyclones and strong winds and wave surges, which are very, very abnormal to our experience. This upsets our traditional skills of survival on this small space of land. Sea level rise. The land in the whole country, if you search it up, if you Google it up, they said it's 4 meters above sea level. 4 meters above sea level. And I have to remind you that that is just a point. Majority of the, most of the country is below 2 meters above sea level. And a significant rise in the level of the sea will definitely impact the land and the country as a whole. We have experienced in the past and up to today, when it is high tide, the tide does not only come above the land, but it also seeps out of the land and floods the islands. I'll show you some slides after this. Coral bleaching. Our islands are surrounded by corals, and we regard the corals in two aspects. First, it is our first line of defense against any wave surges. They break down the strength of the waves before they hit the shore, so it minimizes the rate of coastal erosion. Because we have lost our corals to the increase in the acidification of the ocean as well as the temperature of the ocean, we lost this first line of defense. Therefore, it exacerbates the rate of coastal erosion. Secondly, they are the houses for fish. Because we have lost that, we also lost our fish stocks. And it makes fishing exercises very, very, very expensive today. I have been part of our country's delegation to United Nations negotiations, which they call the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. And the meeting takes every year, and they call that meeting the Conference of the Parties. This year it will take place in Paris, in France. They have been doing that for the past 21 years. And every time this meeting takes place, there is always a sense that comes up that says, it's only 12,000 people. It's easier to uplift them and put them in the middle of a desert or somewhere. It's cheaper and easier. For us, some of the very important aspects of our lives have not been calculated into this formula. Because when we talk about relocation, we are talking about the loss of identity. Our culture and our traditions are things that evolved out of the kind of environment that we live in. They cannot survive in a different environment. And you cannot create a country within another country. You cannot uplift 12,000 people from Tuvalu and place them in the middle of the United States of America and say, these are your boundaries and this is called Tuvalu. I don't think that is possible. And the implication is that if that happens, the people will simply assimilate into the culture of the land. And over time, the way of life has to change. The language will disappear. And then they will become part of that land. We will become homeless people on the face of this planet. You know, it's always easy, it's always good to migrate, to move from country to country, as long as you have a point of reference where you can point and say, that is where I belong. Because the saying is always true that says, there is nowhere like home. So, when the country goes down underwater and we don't have a point of reference to tie our identity to, we'll become homeless people. We'll become second class, third class, fourth class, sixth class citizens of whatever country. And in the world today, we do not have a convention that prevents or protects the rights of people, of such people who will be forced out of their countries because of the impacts of climate change. The implications of the impacts, as I have stated, it challenges our traditional way of life. And because our traditional way of life is not working for us anymore because it's being challenged by the impacts of climate change, people are being forced into a more market-based lifestyle. I would say in the whole country, there are about 80% of the total population do not earn regular salaries to cater for a market-based lifestyle. Two people might be working in a family and about 20 people will be depending on them. So dependency becomes a problem. And when the dependence needs cannot be met, then other social problems will creep in, like crimes, as well as poverty. The point here is that the relationship, the intimate relationship between our traditional way of life and our environment and our nature as well, become disunited. Because in the past, we used to plant, we pray, and the fruits will be there. By faith, we believe that God will give us the fruits. Today, we plant, we pray, nothing happens. So, there are two questions there. First, where is God's providence? And secondly, is creation working against us? Have we done something wrong that upsets creation? And then comes in the question, when we realize that there is a link of what is happening on the ground and what we are experiencing to the issue of climate change and what caused climate change, then we ask ourselves, why us? We have no factories. We have no industries. We are regarded as one of the most least developed countries in the world. And we are the second or the fourth smallest independent island country in the world. Why are we being punished for something that we did not take part in? This drives us to go into the Bible. And we see, we see that when we read the Bible, especially the New Testament and the Gospels, we see that Jesus came into the world, he came into a culture, a context. And he had to choose sides. His mission was not only to save us from our sins, to forgive us from our sins. In other words, not only to prepare our souls for heaven, but at the same time, his main focus was to liberate the oppressed. And I would like to illustrate that. When Jesus came, there was a system that dominates the lives of the people. There was an empire that suppresses the rights of the people. And he had to choose sides, whether to side with the empire, the system, the unjust system, or to side with the victims who have been victimized by the system and the empire. We see in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, it says that, you know, the thief came to steal and destroy, but Jesus came so that we may have life and have it in its abundance. What does life in its abundance mean? Peaceful life with all God's blessings. A life free from anxieties and free from suppression. We see in the New Testament, Jesus chose side and he chose to side with the victims, the women, the children, the poor, the foreigners, the lepers. And I have the text there. So that we can see that Jesus fought the system or the empire on behalf of these people, the people who were being suppressed. And in Matthew 21, 12 to 17, we saw Jesus walking into the temple. He made a whip and started whipping the people who have turned the court of the temple into a marketplace. And this is simply because they are the obstacles stopping the people who want to go to God. They were selling doves and lambs and sheep These are sacrificial animals. And this belongs to the owners of the system. Jesus had to stop that. And this is a direct challenge to the authority and the decision makers of the time. And that is why he was crucified. I'm running out of time, but I'll just show a few slides. This is a soccer field. It was filled with rocks during a cyclone BAM with wave surges. This is what the islands look like when it is calm. This is what the coast of the islands look like. And I always say, it is better to be approximately right than to be absolutely wrong. So we better act now. This is one of the islands which has been taken out by the wave surges overnight. And this is one of the three that are in the current state. And when we look at it, we are seeing what is going to be like in a few decades' time to the whole country. That is coastal erosion as well. This is just the main road, which was flooded by salt water during wave surges. And my challenge to every Christian, if we are Christians, if we claim to be disciples of Christ, and Christ's mission was to fight against an unjust system, against an unjust empire, how do we see ourselves in trying to walk in the footsteps of Christ, knowing that we are part of the same body? Thank you very much for listening, Faf Taylas. May God bless you all.